Well, thanks for joining me. It is day two of our novena. And if you missed yesterday, it's never too late to start. I've, along with Father Rocky and everyone here at Relevant Radio, when we heard that Pope Francis was going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we said we've got to do something in unison with him. And since your family, since you are our prayer team, since we pray for each other every day, I thought what a perfect time to take this glorious hour of divine mercy and to invoke God's mercy, to ask him to intercede and be merciful. I ask Jesus to intercede and be merciful for us before the throne of God. And we'll pray for an end to the hostilities that we're seeing in Europe and that it does not spread, that we do not see a third world war. We'll pray for the conversion of Russia as Our Lady had asked us to. So as a side note, you might want to mark your calendar. I'm going to be on the air a little bit earlier on the 25th when the Holy Father in Rome and his envoy in Fatima, Portugal, while the consecration will be taking place for that historic event, Father and I will anchor it and we'll give you some perspective and we will we'll continue to be part of what is, I think, just a historic moment in the church and in our day and in our age. So please tell others about this prayer. The chaplet is working miracles. It is a prayer for our day and for our time. And it's a beautiful one. It's funny, my wife and I, we slipped out and we went to confession today. Why? Well, today is the anniversary of my very first radio broadcast, my first national broadcast, not with Relevant Radio, but with another network. And when I woke up this morning, I just wanted to give God thanks for giving me this opportunity to be with you on a consistent basis and to, well, I guess do something I thought I never wanted to do. I never wanted to do talk radio. I thought it was old school. I thought I'd be anchoring TV news right now somewhere or doing something else. Yeah, God had a different mission and a different plan for me. And on this day, I think it was back in 1997 or 8, I went on the air and I bombed. It was the worst broadcast of my life. It was horrible. I'll have to tell you the story one day. It was horrible. I mean, I should not be here today. It only says to me that God wanted me to be here because I should never have been given a second chance, but I was. I'll tell you the story one day. We don't have time right now, but I just gave God thanks for this opportunity to be here. And he gives every one of us a mission. He's given you a mission in life, whether you teach school, whether you are a physician, whether you scrub floors, you know, whether you work in a plant. It doesn't matter. Every job has equal dignity, and you can grow in holiness in that. And God's going to use you where he has placed you. I want you to know that. So don't think, oh, my job is so horrible. Well, how's God ever going to use me here? Believe me, he will. And I'm going to pray Thanksgiving for the blessings he's given me today and pray for conversion. Let's pray right now for Russia. Let's pray right now for China. Let's pray for Our Lady and her intentions, that they will be fulfilled. She asked the Fatima seers, you know, to pray for the conversion of Russia. And these kids did harsh penances. I was saying to Maggie at the break, I said, you know what, Maggie, maybe I should talk today a little bit about those who did these mortifications. Like, I was actually surprised when I found out Faustina did it. You know, she had would do some flagellation. But when I looked into it and I saw the saints that did it, and there were different ways they did penance. It's something it's God's put on my heart, not only to do personally, but I want to invite you to do it too. I think you'll see the transforming power of it. But right now, let's pray day two of our novena. All right, and I've been praying a prayer here. Maybe I'll also share the Fatima prayer. There's a beautiful novena for peace to Our Lady of Fatima. Maggie, I don't know if you put that up on our Facebook or our Twitter page. Maybe we could put that up too. And if you want to go there, this is a very short prayer. And if I get time at the end of the chapel today, maybe I'll pray that. But I've been praying right now the prayer that was written by Pope Francis for peace. Okay, and it's slightly edited just for time. But let's pray it right now as we begin this and we start our chaplet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God of peace, hear our prayer. We've tried so many times over so many years to resolve our conflicts by our own powers, by the force of our arms. How many moments of hostility and darkness have we experienced? How much blood has been shed? How many lives have been shattered? How many hopes have been buried? But our efforts have not been in vain. But now, Lord, come to our aid. Grant us peace. Teach us peace. Guide our steps in the way of peace. Open our eyes and our hearts and give us the courage to say, never again war. With war, everything is lost. Instill in our hearts the courage to take concrete steps to achieve peace. Turn our weapons of war into implements of peace and our trepidation into confident trust and our quarreling into forgiveness. May peace triumph at last, and may the words division, hatred, and war be banished from the hearts of every man and woman. Lord, diffuse the violence of our tongues and our hands and renew our hearts and minds so that the word which always brings us together will be brother, and our way of life will always be that of shalom, peace, salam. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. Just before we start the chaplet, I'm going to ask you to pray for somebody who called me today and had meaning to reach out with him very early in the morning. His name is Father David Simonetti. He's been a great contributor on the air here at Relevant Radio, and just a really holy priest, a good man. He really is a good man. He had dinner with his father last night, and in the middle of the night, he got a phone call from his brother. His father was dying, and he had to rush immediately to his father's side. And when they got there, he was dead. And to lose a parent, man, it's a hard thing. Many of you know. So he said to me, losing a father who's always been there, a protector, you know, there's something about the security a father gives. He says, it's just a surreal feeling, Drew. And I told him, we're in this with him. And he says, I need a harbor in this storm. And I told him, you and I, in this chaplet of divine mercy here, will be that harbor. Because we will pray for not only the soul of his father, but I want to pray for him and his family. And I just want to pray for all those who mourn. I mean, life is a journey. We'll one day all take the same path. You know, we'll all take that same journey and we'll stand before God. Lord, I just give you Father Simonetti and all those who've lost loved ones now. Pray for the souls of those who've gone before us. I'm joined right now by my colleague, Beth. She hails from our creative department. And Beth, it's good to have you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you.
Anything you want to lift up as we start?
Just the prayers for peace and then an intention on my own heart.
All right, well, let's begin then. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call today comes from Jim. He's praying in Roseville, California. Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. My prayer request is for the wife of a good friend of mine who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And the specific request is for good results from the biopsy and a full and quick recovery.
Great prayer. All right. Well, let's lift that up then for your friend's wife and especially for you too, Jim. I know you didn't ask for anything, but Lord, I intercede for Jim. I know he cries out to you with his own intentions and just ask you bless him today and let your presence be felt. But I do pray for those waiting biopsies, those waiting test results, those in the battle with cancer. And I just ask for special healing and grace. I pray for my producer, Tom, and for his family. as they are battling cancer as well. And we just ask for the wisdom that they need. But Lord, I pray for healing today against cancer. Vanquish those cells. Let those test results come back with trust and confidence. I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, take our next call from Heidi, listening in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Heidi.
Hello, Drew. Thank you and thank God so much that I was able to get on today. My son, Joe, who is 21, had to be taken to the emergency room on Saturday because of an extremely fast heartbeat. And he had some treatment, but he has had to have more tests. And tomorrow we meet with a specialist to determine a plan. And I just pray that it is one that gives him complete healing. But and so I pray for a miracle.
Oh, Heidi, my heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry. As a mother, I know how concerned you must be. But look, I'm glad you got through today, all right? And I just want you to know how much prayer you're going to be receiving right now and how much your son is. Put your trust in God, okay? Do that right now. I know it's hard when you're in the storm. But I think of what the Lord said to Faustina. He says, you know, he says, if souls would put themselves completely in my care, he says, I will lavish even greater graces on them. You know, he says, there are souls that thwart my efforts. He says, but when you turn to me, I give these souls first place in my compassionate heart. So we're going to pray for you now. All right, Heidi? We're going to pray for your son. We're going to pray that the physicians who are treating him will have an epiphany, a clear direction in terms of how to deal with the situation, if it's medicine, surgery. But let's also just ask God for absolute complete healing, too. I don't want to shortchange that. Today's the Feast of St. Patrick. St. Patrick was credited with 39 resurrection miracles. He even raised animals from the dead and so many other things. And when I hear those types of stories, it's like, why do we limit God? Why do we put restraints? But, okay, God, maybe we can just find the right treatment. That's great, and I'm all about that, and maybe God wants to use the natural. But let's not limit God either for the supernatural. Let's ask God to bring about complete healings, that those test results come back great, you know, that the cancer is gone, that the vision is restored, that the heartbeat gets settled. Let's pray like we should pray. You know, if you had seen the miracles Christ performed, would you doubt him? Probably not, right? Do you believe he did those? Yes, then why are you doubting? Let's pray right now. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, so Maggie, I know you're monitoring Twitter. I want to bring those on. And I just want to invite into our prayers another great member, I believe, of the Communion of Saints, and that's Father Willie Doyle, who we just spoke about a few moments ago with Kevin Turley. And we pray for Kevin, too, and his family. But Maggie, who is asking for prayer, and what are you bringing to us today?
Sue wrote to us earlier today from Indiana. She said, I will be having laser eye surgery on the 17th and 24th of March due to increased eye pressure related to glaucoma. So prayers for her. Patricia wrote to us. She said, prayers for my dear friend's daughter, Angie, who's undergoing surgery for breast cancer today. Also, I'm asking the Lord to help find a home for an 11-year-old girl and her mother so that they might live close to her new school. Their lives have recently been disrupted by divorce. She also wants to lift up any children who suffer from the effects of divorce. Hong wrote to us and said, please pray for quick recovery for my son, Brian, who's working in Mexico. He's got some kind of GI virus right now, and the last 4 days he's lost close to 10 pounds. He's in the hospital right now, so let's lift Hong's son, Brian, up. Gino wrote to us, and he said, please pray for my health to continue to recover from cancer and the treatments. It's left me with a number of side effects that I'm struggling with. Chris wrote to us and said, please pray for my mental and physical healing. I've been dealing with PTSD and depression. And Patricia asked for prayers for her dad's upcoming surgery and recovery.
Well, a lot of suffering.
I know.
A lot of suffering. We take our health for granted, too. Mm-hmm. We really, really do. Lord, I ask for your divine touch again. Just ask for healing to all those who need it. Let it be a tribute to the power of your mercy and the beauty of this prayer. We'll add Charlotte to our third decade here, too. She's praying with us in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Thank you, Drew, for all that you do.
Well, thank you.
I need a miracle for my son, Jerry, that's in the emergency right now. He is suffering with his liver. He's got problems with that, and I don't know what happened, but he got drained this morning, and then he was rushed to the emergency room. And I also have a son that has schizophrenia that has given me a lot of trouble because he talks all the time, and he just kind of lazy right now and doesn't really want to help with anything. So I'm praying for a miracle for him also.
You poor mother.
Thank you very much for
all you do. Charlotte, thank you for praying with us. I mean, you're such an important part of our prayer team here, and I'm so glad you're part of our spiritual family. And we're all going to pray for you. We're going to pray for that son in the ER with liver issues. And Lord, I know you rejoice when souls ask much, because it's your desire to give much. We often shortchange your generosity and how generous you are. You always amaze me. So I just pray for this mother who seems to have suffered a lot, that her son can recover, return, and be restored to health. I pray for those with schizophrenia, any other psychological or mental challenge as well. Lord, I just pray that this man can find the right treatment, medication, or again, I ask for your healing. So I give you these intentions. I unite them to all who've written to us and all who now join me in this prayer. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Vanessa is praying in Dallas, Texas. Good to see Dallas on board. Hi, Vanessa. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I'm calling because there's a young man of 23-year-old called Pablo Aguirre. He's missing from college since January the 30th in Montreal, Canada. His parents are from Ecuador, and they are very his mom is up there looking for him, and they're just very distressed.
Oh, wow.
So that nobody used tarot cards anymore.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, first of all, Vanessa, thank you for your call. You know, if you've been praying with me for a little while, how fruitful this prayer is for those who are missing. We've had people missing for weeks in forests. We've had people who've been kidnapped, being released. We've had children who were lost, found. So let's ask for a very good resolution to this, or at least a very prompt resolution to this missing boy in Canada. And Lord, I know you hear this prayer, so I thank you in advance for resolving it. And I just pray that the news be good, that these parents can have resolution and peace and find an end to the torment that they're now in. I pray for all those who are being trafficked, and sexually trafficked, all those who've been abducted, all those who are missing. I just ask, Lord, for mercy from any nefarious element that might be involved, that you just liberate and free in return. But I also pray for this intention, which I'm glad she brought up, the occult and the tarot cards. You know, tarot cards, Ouija boards, fortune tellers, mediums. It's incredibly dangerous stuff. You have to stay away from that. Lord, I just pray for protection, first and foremost, for anyone involved, for conversion, and, of course, from healing. And I give you these intentions along with all who are crying out to you now as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Mary praying in Pasadena, California. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. Thanksgiving blessings received. My son was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer, and I spoke to you back in November. Afterward, he had his PET scan. The tumor shrunk by 90%.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yes, it's amazing.
Oh,
no,
I'm
it's
so
even
happy
better.
For him.
Last week he had another scan, and the doctor said there's no cancer in his body except for the tumor that's so small that they're going to start radiation in a couple of weeks to eradicate that.
I just love it. You know,
so,
your call.
And thank you to all the prayer warriors and to you for everything you do.
Mary, your call's giving people so much hope, so much confidence. It helps their weak faith sometimes, or trust. Miracles can and do happen. God can do it. I love it.
It's so amazing. The doctor's, just amazed. He told him, you know, at this stage that it usually starts growing at this time, and he just was so amazed that there's nothing except for the little tumor. No other cancer in his body. It is all healed.
I say it all the time. God's greater than cancer. He's bigger than cancer. It's not bigger than God.
That's right.
You know, we got to keep praying.
Thank
and believe. We'll pray for that mission God has for your son, too. I'm sure he's got a very important one in life. So, Mary, we'll pray in Thanksgiving. I'll pray for your son and for all your intentions, too. And do me a favor. Make sure you email me that story, okay? Write answered prayers and send it to Drew at Relevant Radio. I love that. One of the great, great answered prayers here of the chaplet. And that goes to all of us, right? Praying with faith and trust for one another. And it just shows how good God is, how merciful he is. Yeah, how victorious he is over the most impossible situations. Don't let the eyes of the world, of the temporal, you know, don't let them limit you to the reality that God does exist and that nothing is impossible with him, okay? I want to pray for you now for those situations that you're having trouble really having faith or trust in, for those impossible situations in your life, for those intentions you've been praying a long time for that don't seem to come your way yet. I just want to ask God to continue to make this time a time of abundant blessing, grace, and miracles. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for how much you love us and for your unfathomable mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Father William Doyle,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, stay with me. When I come back, I'm not sure what we'll talk about. Maybe I'll share with you my first radio broadcast and how horrible it was, and how God resurrected me. You'll love that story. Maybe we'll talk about this importance of penance, you know, and mortification. I just learned Father William Doyle did penance. Faustina did the flagellations. Maybe I'll share some of that with you as well. So we'll see where the Spirit leads. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Don't you cry.
What a classic, huh? Love that. It was the artist was Dennis Day, I believe. Turalu, ralura. I wish I could sing. I just can't. That's not one of my gifts. But happy St. Patrick's Day. It is good to spend this day with you. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated by everybody. You know, I went to confession earlier today with my wife, just in celebration of this anniversary, being the anniversary of the first time I ever did a national radio broadcast. And on the way back, we just stopped to grab something to eat quickly, and everybody was in green, right? Everybody was in green. And today's a day where, you know, whether you're Catholic or not, you celebrate St. Patrick's Day. You know, in Chicago, they turn the river green. People drink green beer. There's great music. There's dancing. There's corned beef. You know, people try to use their worst Irish brogue. You know, it's pretty amazing how St. Patrick's Day is really taken root. Unfortunately, you know, the saint himself is forgotten. And I think there's probably a reason for that, if you think about it. I was contemplating this just earlier. How many people really want to imitate the life of St. Patrick, the genuine holiness, the genuine prayer life? I was just listening to Father Kubicki during the break, where he was talking about the prayer life of Patrick, how he would pray 100 prayers throughout the day, and then at night he said as many. He also did incredible penances. If I have a chance, I'll share some of what he had to do. But as Father Kubicki was pointing out, he was kidnapped from his home in Britain when he was just 16 by Irish, you know, by these Irish pirates, basically. He spent 6 years as a slave tending to sheep, to the flocks of his master. And when you're out in nature like he was, he spent 6 years in the open air and all kinds of weather. And Ireland could be damp, but it could be very cold. Beautiful country, though. Oh, my gosh, it's stunningly beautiful. You encounter God, I think, in nature. You do. You can see the creative hand. And he had a true conversion. And through the grace of God, and I really believe divine providence was with him, he escaped his slavery and he went back home in Britain. And, you know, God then called him back to Ireland. Can you believe that? You leave a country where you're a slave and you return to evangelize it. And he did just that. And, of course, he had fierce opposition from the Druids of the day, from the chieftains, from the kings. But the miracles that he worked, they're off the charts. The stories he had to tell, how he communicated God, how God came in human flesh, it won the people over. I'm going to be joined in just a moment by Jennifer Paxton, but I'll just share with you one thing that I know a lot of people have difficulty believing. But it is said, and this comes from a 12th century Cistercian monk. His name was Jocelyn. He wrote a book, The Lives and Acts of St. Patrick, the Archbishop, Primate, and Apostle of Ireland. This monk recorded that Patrick did, and I thought it was 39, but it might be 33, that he raised 33 people from the dead. Some, and now this is hard to accept, some who had been buried for years. You know, and now I know you find that fantastical, and I can share a few of the stories that he raised, but I won't do that right now. Maybe a little bit later we will, but I go back to Scripture, to Matthew 10:8, right? In the Gospel of Matthew, what does Jesus command his apostles to do? He says, heal the sick. And what else did he say? He said, raise the dead. Raise the dead. That's what he told them to do. You can heal, we can accept, oh yeah, you can heal the sick, but raise the dead, yes. Cleanse the leper, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. That was Christ's command, and we saw many saints do this. You know, in Acts 9, Peter raised Tabitha from the dead, and you know, many other accounts of the apostles and the saints healing and raising from the dead. There's a great book written by, I think it's Joan Carol Cruz, I think. Though I think it was Raised from the Dead was the name of her book. I think. Don't quote me on that, but there's a great book that chronicles all this. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about St. Patrick is none other than Dr. Jennifer Paxton. She's a clinical associate professor of history at CUA, Catholic University of America, where she specializes in medieval Celtic and British history. And she's graciously given us some time to give us some insight into both the period he lived and the great works that he performed. Doctor, thank you for being here. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Drew. It's so wonderful to be with you.
Thank you. So, you know, St. Patrick, sometimes legends, stories, they inflate with time. You know, they get bigger. About him casting, you know, getting snakes out of Ireland. I think I'd read that, yeah, there probably never really were snakes in Ireland. How much do we really know about St. Patrick? You know, not the legends, but his real life. What can you share with us?
We know more about him than we do about anyone else who did what he did, which was to preach to the pagans on the frontiers of the Roman Empire. And that's because, as you've been sharing with your listeners, he wrote down his experiences. And he's the only person from that period who did that. So we actually know a fair bit about him. Of course, there are questions we can't answer, but we know how it felt to St. Patrick to do what he did. And he records very candidly how challenging it was. And I think that's one reason why he's such an inspirational figure, because he doesn't claim it was easy. He is very upfront about how difficult it was, and yet he persevered. The Lord spoke to him, and he listened, even in the tough times.
He's an amazing, you know, he's one of my patrons. I was sharing before you came on that my very first radio broadcast was on this day years and years ago, my first national radio broadcast. And I had to sit in for the Attorney General on the West Coast, Attorney General Dan Lundgren. He was Attorney General of California. And he had left for 5 days, and they asked me to sit in. And I was so wet behind the ears, I bombed miserably. I never forget St. Patrick's Day. I babbled incoherently about St. Patrick. But I turned to him ever since then because he was such a great evangelizer. You know, he was able to take a pagan world and introduce the truth of Christianity, of our Catholic faith to the people. And it took heroism and sacrifice and took God's providence to live in a land where you're free, to return to a place where you are oppressed. What happened to him? Now, share his story, because it's pretty dramatic. He's now a slave. We'll start there. He's been there for a while. How did he escape Ireland, and what drew him back, and what was the fruit of that return?
Well, it's hard actually to tell how he escaped, but he seems to have managed to slip away from his master, someplace probably in the north of Ireland, and journey to the coast, where he encountered people who owned a ship. And he somehow, in a rather tense exchange, convinced them to let him board ship. And then they actually went to Gaul, which is now France, and wandered in the wilderness for a long time without any food. And then God miraculously provided food for them to eat. So he was being looked after even in this really difficult part of his journey into his escape. And then he made his way back to Britain. And as you said, the amazing thing is that he returned to the site of his captivity, and not just to Ireland in general, but to the specific area where he had been a slave. And one can read between the lines that he probably went back to that specific area because he had come to know people there. And those were the people he wanted to go back and share the word of God with.
So, you know, he was able to convert a pagan culture, as we talk about. How did he do that? I mean, today I think he's a great intercessor, as I said, and a great example to all of us. We live in a pagan culture now. How did he bring the faith alive? How did he convert the Druid people?
Well, one thing he probably didn't do is teach about the Trinity from a shamrock.
Right.
So that's a story that everybody hears, but we don't have any written record of that story until about 1,000 years after he was around.
Wow.
So that's probably not true. It's a great
it's story.
It's
a good
story,
yeah. I like it.
It is a great story. It's sad to let go of that one. But he seems to have really passionately shared his love of God on a very individual basis to small groups. He went around the country. You know, some of the later lives of Patrick have him engaging in set-piece confrontations with the chief druid and the high king of Ireland. That's probably not how it happened. Mm. It was probably a lot more hard, slogging, evangelizing in these very small groups, because Ireland was pretty decentralized at the time. So you have to imagine a long, hard campaign, and in a sense that's almost more impressive because of the fortitude that it took to persevere, to do this huge task by talking to a few people at a time.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more. If you want to join us too, you're welcome to pull a chair up to the table here. I'm speaking this afternoon with Dr. Jennifer Paxton. She hails from Catholic University of America and is an expert on medieval Celtic and British history. And we're taking a look at the myth, the legend, the truth of who the great St. Patrick was. Our conversation continues with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get the facts, get the faith. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that'll put you in the mood, right? Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Hope you're having a great one. If you're joining us, I know the celebrations are fun. I actually had a corned beef sandwich today. So I'm in the spirit, right? Some people drink green beer and, you know, they have lots of fun on this day. It is a great day. And I think it's also important to understand the origins of the man who's, I guess, the man who this day is named after, St. Patrick, right? Besides being a great evangelist, and he's somebody who I invoke on a daily basis, he was also a prophet. I don't know if you know that. He was once, he was one who, I guess, wrestled with God in a sense, one, because it wasn't an easy victory for the saint. It took 40 days of prayer and penance and fasting And that's something that people don't realize about the prophets. You know, they don't prophesy on their own. They do spiritual battle for people through prayer and penance. John the Baptist did a lot of penance. He wore camel's hair garments, right, and ate locusts. God called Amos from being a shepherd to prophesy to the people. Jeremiah was abused in a lot of ways by the people, something which he gave to God. We spoke earlier about Father William Doyle, a priest who did harsh penances as well. All the great saints did this, and St. Patrick as well. And I say this to you again, if you're looking for conversion, if you're praying for that loved one away from the faith, take the example of the saints, and in particular St. Patrick. Pray, pray, pray. Couple that with penance. It is good to have with me today an expert on Irish history. I'm joined today by Dr. Jennifer Paxton, a clinical associate professor of history at the Catholic University of America. And doctor, it's so good to have you here with us. I'm grateful for your time and for your insight. We only have a few moments left. There's a lot of great prayers out there from St. Patrick, and I know there's one that's very close to your heart as well. And maybe before we wrap it up today, would you mind sharing that with us and praying that?
I would be delighted. This is, it's called the Lorica, or the breastplate of Patrick.
Yeah.
And that's because in it, he invokes the protection of the Lord against all danger. So this is part of the prayer. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks to me, Christ in the eye of every man that sees me, Christ in the ear of every man that hears me. I bind to myself today the strong power of an invocation of the Trinity, the faith of the Trinity in unity, the creator of the elements. May thy salvation, Lord, be always with us. Amen.
Man, beautiful prayer, huh? Beautiful, beautiful prayer. Doctor, let's take a few calls for you. And if you want to get in, I only have just a couple minutes left in this segment. So the number here is 888-914-9149. We'll go to Mary Ann. She's in Chicago. She's got a question for you. Hi, Mary Ann.
Oh, hi. It's not a question. It's an anecdote that was told in the homily at the noon mass at the Women's Center because he wanted to honor, Father Thomas wanted to honor St. Patrick. And it goes like this. Right. Patrick would do his baptisms in the river and submerge in. He used a staff to support himself. He would planted, you know, into the riverbed to hold it firm. So he was baptizing a chieftain, and the chieftain walked down in. He's baptized, and then he's limping on his way out. So everybody's going, Patrick, Patrick, he's limping. What happened? And then he apologized and explained to this chieftain, and the chieftain said, oh, I thought nothing of it because I thought that's what happens in baptism is you get a wound like Christ.
Wow.
It was a great story.
That's such a wonderful story because it almost plays on our sense that you're really not supposed to say anything. You know, you're just supposed to go with it, right?
That's so
and that's
true.
What the chieftain was doing.
I love it. Hey, Marianne, thank you.
It. He actually believed it.
I love it.
And he wasn't afraid of it. He wasn't afraid of suffering. It was cool.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Good to have you here with us today. Appreciate the call. I only have just a quick moment left. I was talking to one of my producers this morning. I was trying to remember this. I've been to Ireland, I think, on two different occasions, maybe three. And I remember hearing, I don't know, the guy that was with me talk about how we in the West, the Christianity was actually preserved in large part due to Ireland, due to the Irish. Now, you're an expert on Celtic history. What happened? Was it Islam that was spreading across Europe? Did it threaten the world of Christianity? And was it the monks that somehow, due to their ability to write and scribe and chronicle our faith, that preserved it? I don't know if I'm being clear in terms of what I'm asking you here, but I'm just wondering what role Irish monasteries and monks and Ireland in general played in this.
It really wasn't so much about preserving Christianity from Islam. It was about preserving the faith that came down from the earliest church in a period when Northern Europe had largely been it'd been conquered by barbarians who in many cases were Christian but not very educated Christians. And so the Irish monks who once they converted they were very smart people. They buckled down and learned a lot. They then brought that learning back to the continent of Europe and founded a bunch of monasteries where the learning of the classical world was preserved. So a lot of early classical texts, both pagan and Christian, were preserved in the monasteries that the Irish monks founded. And these Irish monks were to be found on the continent down through the Middle Ages. So you can actually find manuscripts in Germany that have Irish handwriting from the 12th century.
Wow.
Because they kept sending the monks to the continent knowing that
Wow.
they really needed this sort of infusion of learning from Ireland. It's called the Island of Saints and Scholars, and you can see why.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What about the Protestant Reformation? What happened to the faith in Ireland during that time? I don't know whether you can speak to current events, too. I only have like 3 minutes left here, but I'm curious because I see Ireland abandon their faith. We see abortion rampant in that country today. We see the redefinition of marriage. We see secularism poisoning the people there. And the faith, like here in America, in terms of church attendance, on the decline. So a couple things there. Maybe we should do the latter first. Where is Ireland today in terms of preserving the faith that Patrick so beautifully brought to the island?
It's a moment of crisis for the church in Ireland, honestly. The former Archbishop of Dublin, Archbishop Martin, has spoken very eloquently about this. I really don't know what to say about it, other than that the church has experienced really some major scandals in Ireland that hurt its public image. And you know, I'm one of those people who believes that this is my church, mm-hmm. and I'm going to stay and fight for it. So I don't believe that the answer to the need for reform is to leave. I think the answer is to stay and make sure that the people of God are taken care of. But that hasn't been everybody's reaction. And I think they're undergoing a more rapid decline in yep. the observance of the faith than we have seen in the United States, because mm-hmm. a mass attendance stayed so strong there for so long.
No, I'm with you on that. And I'm grateful for having the opportunity to talk to you. I know it's our first time together. I hope you'll come back. Love to tap into your expertise again at some point in the future, but I am actually out of time right now. But, Dr., thanks. If people want to check you out or follow you, is there a way to do that?
You can find me at the Catholic University website. My email is paxton@cua.edu. Be happy
Sounds
to hear
great.
from your listeners.
Well, thanks. Keep up your good work. We'll talk soon. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, and to you too.
Thank you. That's Dr. Jennifer Paxton. Again, you can check her out at cua.edu, Catholic University of America. I literally had probably a moment left. I just want to remind you again, we are in the middle of a 9-day novena, and I hope you'll join me every afternoon at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 1 Pacific, as we are praying in a lead up. We're doing a 9-day novena, joining the Holy Father in that beautiful consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart, praying for peace. And today, this theme of penance keeps coming up throughout the show from the great saints, St. Patrick in particular. If you can, you know, it's rooted in the Fatima message. The angel with the flaming sword in the third secret cried out, penance, penance, penance. It's what we're called to do to avert war. Prayer and penance, make it part of your Lent. Maybe one of your penitential acts will be giving up some time and joining me at 3 Central, praying that chapel for this cause. United, faith-filled, I know we can change the world. And I know graces will flow. I know good is going to come from what we're about to do. So tell others about it as well. Next Friday, not this, but next, on the 25th, when that consecration takes place, that historic one, I'll be live a little bit earlier in the day, anchoring that historic moment. But stay with me. I'll be back with more. You might be surprised about what you hear.